Good morning.
As you've noticed, Reverend Allen is not here today. He and Margot went to go celebrate Margot's nephew's wedding. I'd like to call your attention to the announcements in the bulletin. Specifically, next Sunday after church, there will be a meeting in the Brecken Room for those interested in learning more information about the next Appleby cruise to South America. And also, I have to announce that Marg Ewing passed away this past September the 11th. There'll be a celebration of life sometime in April with details coming closer to the date. Marg Ewing. Longtime member of Appleby. You can find more information on the Smith Funeral Home website. Now I would like to welcome Marilyn Stairs, our guest speaker today. Marilyn has taken a course at Five Oaks in lay ministry and is now licensed by the Presbytery in lay ministry. Marilyn and her husband Peter have been members at Tansley United for the past 26 years. Please help me welcome Marilyn to our congregation.
Let us wake to the presence of God in and around us.
Let us stand for us and for all people, communicated through the voices of creation.
Let us respond with everything we have and are.
Come, let us worship God, our Creator, with praise and thanksgiving. Amen.
We pause in the opening of this worship to sense your presence, generous God.
You call us to make the world a better place.
We ask for answers.
Give us curiosity to seek them.
We ask for truth.
Give us humbleness to accept it.
We ask for fairness.
Give us the empathy to notice it.
We ask for solutions. We ask for hope.
You give us persistence.
Generous God, may we use these gifts to make the world a better place.
Wherever we are, we know that you are there with us, O God.
Amen. Let us sing together More Voices 161, I Have Called You By Your Name.
Thank you.
God of great compassion, we have wandered from your way and turned our hearts from your purposes. We have abused both sea and land to satisfy our gluttony. Harvesting all our hands can grasp, we store rather than share what we cannot use. Watching people who are barely surviving harsh poverty in the midst of such plenty.
We are too quick to blame them for their lack and to take credit for our own wealth.
We twist your call to priestly service into a mandate of arrogant political power.
Forgive us for these sins of vanity and selfishness.
Turn us from the pride of thinking we are early birds who have gotten many worms into a humble people who find joy in serving others.
Let us gladly offer the abundance we easily reap in support of those who struggle to eke out the sinless life.
Recognizing your grace towards our weakness, may we be gentle with the situations of others and thankful always for your providence in redeeming love. Please take a moment to listen to God's voice within your hearts, calling us back to center our lives with God. Amen. In Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, making peace with all things, on earth and in heaven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Morning. We reflect on God's words. Stories of the early church, 1 Timothy 1, 12 to 17. Maybe on the screen, yes. I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength for my work. I thank him for considering me worthy and appointing me to serve him. Even though in the past I spoke evil of him and persecuted and insulted him. But God was merciful to me because I did not yet have faith, and so did not know what I was doing. And our Lord poured out his abundant grace on me and gave me the faith and love which are ours in union with Christ Jesus. This is a true saying to be completely accepted and believed. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I am the worst of them. But God was merciful to me in order that Christ Jesus might show his full patience in dealing with me, the worst of sinners, as an example for all those who would later believe in him and receive eternal life. To the eternal King, immortal and invisible, the only God, to him be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And our second story is from Luke 15, verses 1 to 10. One day, when many tax collectors and other outcasts came to listen to Jesus, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law started grumbling. This man welcomes outcasts and even eats with them. So Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. What do you do? You leave the other 99 sheep in the pasture and you go looking for the one that got lost until you find it. When you find it, you are so happy that you put it on your shoulders and you carry it back home. Then you call your friends and your neighbors together and say to them, I am so happy I found my lost sheep. Let us celebrate. In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 respectable people who do not need to repent. The lost coin. Or suppose a woman who has 10 silver coins loses one of them. What does she do? She lights a lamp, sweeps her house, and looks carefully everywhere until she finds it. When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says to them, I am so happy I found the coin I lost. Let us celebrate. In the same way, I tell you, the angels of God rejoice over one sinner who repents. Thanks be to God for this word.
Thank you, choir. I've just recently returned from a vacation out in Nova Scotia, and that song reminds me of out there and brings back very fond memories. And I'm not sure if it's your custom here, but I think it was beautiful. Thank you so much. I begin this morning with a question. Have you ever lost something very important to you? Have you ever lost your wallet? Or maybe your car keys? Have you ever left a valuable item in a public place? That lost item becomes the focus of our attention, and we can't rest until we found it. The 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel has three parables, and each one is about something lost. The first speaks of a lost sheep, and then secondly, a lost coin, and third, a lost son. We turn our attention to the first two of these parables this morning. I pray that God would bless the time that we spend in His Word. This morning we have heard the two of a trilogy of redemption parables. Jesus' parables were stories that were lessons. Each included situations well known to the people of the day. They were exaggerated stories, so those who listened would not miss the point. Each lesson illustrated a moral or spiritual lesson. Jesus invites his listeners to place themselves into the story. Let's try to do this morning. At the beginning of the reading today, the Pharisees see Jesus speaking to tax collectors and sinners. They think that they are being derogatory when they comment that this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. After all, tax collectors were fellow Jews who had sold themselves to Rome and became rich at the expense of their own people. They were told by the Romans what to collect from a certain area, and whatever they collected over and above that was theirs to keep. It's obvious the whole system was ripe for corruption. The tax collectors, for their part, were thrilled that Jesus was willing to speak to them. You can be sure they were listening to him very intently. Jesus spoke on their level. His words weren't boring or formal or unrelated to real life. Sinners were the irreligious of the day who did not follow the teachings of the Pharisee. This group included prostitutes and thieves and many others. Jesus' willingness to associate with these low-status people turned out to have a long-term positive effect. One of the tax collectors who came to faith was none other than Matthew, called Levi. He's the one who wrote the first of the four Gospels in the New Testament. I'm glad that Jesus took the time to get to know Matthew and that he treated him with dignity and respect, regardless of his background. If it was up to the Pharisees, they wouldn't have given Matthew the time of day, and another soul would have been lost to the kingdom of God. It was well documented that Jesus spent considerable time with the outcasts of Jewish society. But Jesus welcomed this intended slur by the Pharisees as a compliment. He was not ashamed of his associations, knowing that the intent of his ministry was to seek and save the lost. Many of the outcasts of society recognized their lost condition and eagerly sought salvation. Pharisees and the other so-called religious leaders of the day saw themselves as defenders of the faith, as they understood it. Jesus, on the other hand, was defender of the truth, God's truth. Jesus spent 3 years trying to tell them what the difference was. but the message only got few to a very few of them. They never perceived themselves as lost, but those in a position to condemn others. The faith that they proclaimed was spiritually equivalent of cod liver oil. Their attitude seemed to be, take it. It's good for you. It may not be all that palatable, but it's what you need. It is with this in mind that Jesus unfolds these two parables. Jesus loved to show people what God is like. He knew better than anyone that God is a wonderful, loving, faithful, merciful God. But as he traveled and taught, Jesus saw that many people didn't understand God. And from the very beginning, Jesus said that he came to earth to hang out with the sinners, the people who most needed to hear that God loves them. That's why Jesus used so many parables. Remember, a parable is a simple story that contains big truths about the kingdom of God. Everyone who wanted to know about God could understand his parables. Children, adults, shepherds, teachers, people with an education, people who never went to school, Jews, Gentiles, everyone. And in the two parables we're going to look at today, God's wonderful, loving heart is revealed in a big way. We will see that God loves sinners and delights in saving them. There is a pattern in these parables. An object is lost. All are owned. All remain valuable to the owner despite being lost. The owner, having others, other coins, other sheep, never turned away his focus from recovering what was lost. The focus is on the love of the owner for the lost object. Raise your hand if you'll admit that you have been lost while driving your car. My observation is that men and women react differently to being lost. A man will drive and drive without stopping to ask directions. A woman, she'll stop at the first gas station or even stops people along the way. But actually, the best place to go to get directions is a pizza place that delivers. We've all been lost at one time or another. Luke gives us two examples of being lost. Lost sheep and a lost coin. The sheep wandered off, lost itself, little by little, step by step. Have you ever lost a child in a store or mall? They were there one moment, the next they were gone. They had wandered off, sending you into a panic. In Jesus' first parable, he describes a man who had 100 sheep and he lost one. He left the 99 in a safe place and went out looking for that one lost sheep. His efforts were rewarded. He located his lost sheep. He took that confused and frightened sheep and he returned it to the safety of the flock. When he returned, he called his friends together, and they rejoiced at his good fortune. The point of the story is clear. Just as man's friends shared his rejoice at the return of that one sheep, so all the angels in heaven rejoice when just one sinner is moved to repentance and becomes a member of God's family. The imagery of shepherd and sheep is common in the Bible. Consider these words from Isaiah 40, chapter 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lamb in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that are young. Jesus' parable reminds us that just one sheep is very important to the shepherd. Notice how much effort is put into the search for just one child. Hundreds of people will search until all hope of finding that child is gone. Notice how much effort is put into finding a lost mountain climber or hiker. So the shepherd leaves 99 other sheep behind while he searches for the one that is lost. The other 99 are already members of the flock. The shepherd's search is a wonderful image of God seeking the lost so that they can enjoy his salvation. The God we believe in, the God of the Holy Scriptures, is a God who never forgets his people. Every single one, no matter who they might be, no matter what their background, is equally important to him. Jesus is saying to the Pharisee, "You complain about the kind of people I spend time with. If I don't spend time with these folks, how can I ever hope to bring them into my family? You spend all your time with each other, and you have no time left for the very people who most need your help." And to the sinners, Jesus is saying, "You too are my lost sheep. I'm concerned about you. Let me rescue you and bring you to safety." The second parable Jesus told is similar to the first. This time the lost item was not a sheep but a coin. At the time of Jesus, married women often wore headdresses of 10 silver coins on a silver chain. Perhaps one of the coins fell off, and she discovered that it was missing. Have you ever taken off a precious piece of jewelry, put it down somewhere, and then can't remember where you put it? Maybe you were washing dishes, you were taking a shower, or putting lotion on your hands. Can you remember the scare that it gave you? The coin, worth about a day's wages back then, was lost somewhere in the house, and the woman swept the floor hoping to locate it. She spared no effort, and in due time she was rewarded for her diligence. Again, she called her friends together so that they could share her joy. You'll notice that in the first parable, the shepherd is a man, and in the second, the main character is a woman. Some scholars have speculated that Jesus intended for us to see him portrayed in the first parable and to see the woman in the second parable as representing the church. If that thought is correct, then the point is clear. Jesus seeks the lost and his church does too. This is how some people get lost from God. God hasn't lost them, they've lost themselves. It is the little things that can move us farther and farther away, until one day we are awakened and we're far, far away. These two stories have another thing in common. Both involved a diligent search by the owner. The shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the lost sheep. The woman lights a lamp, sweeps the house and searches carefully. Did you not do the same when a child wandered off or you misplaced something valuable? The owner in both parables represents God. Jesus uses these two parables to explain to the Pharisee and teachers of the law why he welcomes sinners and eats with them. Both parables have a happy ending. Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. During his ministry, Jesus searched for two very different kinds of people. He searched for those who had never known him and were alienated from a life of faith, that would be the tax collectors and the others. And in addition, he searched for religious people whose faith was a liability instead of an asset. And what is important to Jesus is important to his church. The most important thing we do as Christians is to reach out to those who need to hear the good news about Jesus. Everything else is secondary. Personal, persistent contact is a key factor in outreach. I'll say that again. Personal, persistent contact is a key factor in outreach. I recall an illustration I once heard at an outreach conference. There was once a young man who courted a young lady in a very unusual way. Every day for a full year, he sent her a special delivery letter. And so every day for 365 days, she received a letter that he sent to her. Finally, 1 year later, she married. But she didn't marry the young man who mailed all those letters. She married the postman who delivered them. After all, personal, persistent contact makes all the difference. The example Jesus gives in these two parables reveals to us that nothing lost can be found without the effort of a diligent search. That, my friends, is our responsibility. To search for the lost, doing what it takes to bring to God those that are lost. These parables reflect the beautiful meaning of God seeking out the lost sinner and rejoicing when found. These parables show us the heart of God and the mission of Christ. God's mission in Christ is to seek and to save the lost. Amen. Now, I have to say that I'm very grateful to the choir this morning and to Ian because I threw a new hymn at them and they did not have their usual 2 weeks to practice. And I'm sure you won't even notice that they didn't have 2 weeks to practice. So we will sing Voices 360, A Woman in Her Coin. God calls us to share in God's work of caring for creation and for one another. Creation reminds us of God's generosity and invites us to live with abundant giving. The offering will now be received. Let us pray. Holy God, you are present in every moment, and we can choose to trust that, even at times we're not sure that it's true. You are more constant than our momentary doubt. We long for our home on planet Earth to be more like the world that Christ foreshadowed for us, where greed, hatred, cruelty, power struggles, dishonesty, and jealousy become traits and behaviors belonging to the past. We long for a world where every person has enough to eat, pure water, clean air, adequate shelter, suitable clothing, loving families and friends, assured health and dental care, appropriate education, meaningful activity, and freedom to make life-giving choices. We long to praise you, to engage with you, and to sense your presence in the peaks and valleys of our lives and in all the moments in between. You have provided us with everything that we need to ensure that all creatures, including human beings, are well treated, well cared for, happy, joyous, and free. May we use wisely the resources that you give. Loving God, teach us to care for all that you have given us. Help us to learn how to share, how to handle conflict, how to befriend, and how to accept differences as blessings. Through the power and grace of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, we offer you our best selves. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn is Voices United 884, You Shall Go Out With Joy. In the days ahead, may we cherish and remember that we are one connected human family on one fragile planet with one amazing God. May we be like trees, sheltering, sharing, shielding, bending with winds of change in our lives, feeding, sustaining all manners of creatures, cleansing the air around us, growing, reaching, witnessing, contributing, strong and upright, connecting through our roots. Go now knowing God loves you. Search for the lost and welcome them into the church. Share your love and feel God's blessing. Amen.
Go make a difference. We can make a difference. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Yes.